Hello, Adam. Trouble?
Looks like we'll have to send someone down to interview. We've got a lot of people asking for a segment on It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, that's crucial to any year-end show. You're right. We'll have to send someone down immediately. Whose turn is it to interview?
That's why I came to see you, sir. It's that Canadian's turn again.
Oh, Doug. Hasn't got his headphones yet, has he?
We've passed him up right along. Because you know, sir, he's got the voice of a bullfrog.
Yes, but he's got the spirit of a 9-year-old child. Adam, send for Doug.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, Doug. A radio show on Earth needs our help.
Splendid! Is it going to be canceled?
No, worse. They're discouraged. They will be thinking seriously of throwing away a perfectly good holiday show without an It's a Wonderful Life interview.
Sir, if I should do well with this interview, I mean, might I perhaps win my headphones? It's been going on for some 20 years now. People are beginning to talk.
Doug, you do a good job with this It's a Wonderful Life segment, and you'll get your headphones.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Now listen up. If you're going to interview someone about It's a Wonderful Life, you want to know something about them, don't you?
Well, naturally, of course.
Well, keep your ears open. Hear that voice?
I can't hear a thing.
Oh, I forgot. You haven't got your headphones yet. Now look, I'll help you out. Concentrate. Begin to hear something?
Yes. This is amazing. Who is that?
That was my entire experience in
That's Robert Reed. He's written a short story inspired by It's a Wonderful Life.
And I guess it's a good voice. I like it. I like Robert Reed.
I saw it on TV, but I was more familiar with the original story that it came from.
And The Greatest Gift.
Yeah. It was a story about the bridge and the angel and so on and so forth. And I don't remember details, but I remember reading the story. That was my entire experience until I saw the movie.
Mm. What did you think of it the first time you saw it?
Honestly, I kind of liked it. I don't remember any specific great reaction. But I've always been entranced, and this is a deeply profound and personal admission, but I've always really liked Donna Reed. The young Donna Reed, I thought, was a real babe.
Your mother just phoned and said you were on your way over to pay me a visit.
And I mean, we're talking, you know, kind of in the Betty Rubble category of,
yeah.
if you know what I mean, you know, it's just...
I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, you know our tricks.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, wow, I didn't expect this quality in this person, in this thing on the screen at this particular time in my life. But that's basically where the story comes from.
So what is it then about several years later, you decide to write this story, A Woman's Best Friend?
If you look at it as being a multiverse, alternate universe scenario, then it becomes this rich place to play in, where they have basically two worlds in existence. I would perceive infinite number of worlds. And so I just decided to put Mary out there in the snow on her way from the library out to party that night on a town that's kind of rough by our standards. But these people are extremely wealthy. And what I decided to do, I mean, the society is extremely different from ours, and I'd like to do it as a set of layers. And I discovered, as I wrote, I discovered each layer of the oddities. Of course, I wrote something from It's a Wonderful Life because I write something about everything that happens in my life, and everything I see is all viable fodder.
You mentioned that the town in which your story is set is rough by our standards, and would it be fair to say it's even rough by Potter's?
Oh, yeah.
Pottersville standards?
Oh, yeah.
So talk about, you mentioned that it's set in the multiverse, and a multiverse is kind of my understanding, it's a hypothetical group of multiple universes, which includes the universe in which we live. But I want to know, how do you define the multiverse?
Infinity times infinity. Basically, anything that's possible, anything that's even remotely possible happens infinite number of times. You don't have just two worlds in play with each other, but there's all sorts of ramifications. In some sense, it's a fine playground for me as a writer. In another sense, it's kind of the opposite of drama. Since everything that can happen will happen, no single event ever really matters much in the end, because everything will happen.
Can you give us a brief summary of your story, A Woman's Best Friend?
City librarian is walking through the snow. She comes upon a man named George.
Mary! 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 Hurry and it's George.
Don't you know me? What's happened to us?
I don't know. You let me go.
Mary, please. Oh, don't do this to me. Please, Mary. Help me. Where's our kids? I need you, Mary.
George is lost. George is very lost. And she realizes right away how he is lost and why he's lost. And she takes pity on him and she takes care of him. And in that sense, very little happens in the story. It's not a long story, but it's basically George coming to terms with his new reality.
Now would be a great time to have you read an excerpt from A Woman's Best Friend, and you can set it up if you think it needs to be.
This is probably early in their exchange. She knows his name and she thinks to herself, George is about my least favorite name, she thinks. But she does not know this face. This is not a familiar person to her. With a loud, dismissive tone, she said, George, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but there's no such thing as a genuine angel. Except I saw him. You saw someone. Where was he? On the bridge outside town, he offered. He fell into the river, and I jumped in after him and dragged him to shore. The man was sopping wet, she noted. But now what were you doing out on the bridge, George? He hesitated. Nothing, he replied with an ashamed, insistent tone. The angel jumped in, and you saved him? Yes. That sounded absurd. What did your angel look like, George? Like an old man? Then how do you know he was an angel? He said he was. And after you rescued him, what happened? Wait, no, let me guess. Did your angel make noise about earning an aura or his halo? His wings. Really? And you believe that story? George gulped. And what did this wingless man promise you, George? To show me? What? How the world would be if I'd never been born.
In your version of the story, Clarence isn't really an angel. He's a con man.
If I was to write a story from Clarence's point of view, mm-hmm. I would say he's not human. Mm-hmm. He never was human, but he has a great deal of power. He has the kind of power that an angel would kill for. I mean, he basically can move through the multiverse at will. And he does things, and he sees things, and he reacts to things. And one day he was watching It's a Wonderful Life on Our World on TV and thought, I can do that too. And he went out and found himself a suicidal man who looked an awful lot like Jimmy Stewart and found a woman for him that looks an awful lot like Donna Reed. And the rest is history. And he set up the situation. He's if I was writing it from his point of view, I'd paint him as being a whimsical entity. Godlike.
Like a trickster, kind of?
Like a trickster.
Yeah, a trickster. So is he doing it just because he can? Because as far as I can tell, he's not making
No, there's no profit.
Yeah, there's no profit in this.
No. It's just a whim. Nothing. We're talking about God here.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, frankly, he's already got his wings. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And he's just horsing around.
Yeah. How does this alternate version of George's wife, Mary, know that George has committed suicide?
This happens. Apparently, her world is a dumping ground for exactly this sort of person. They're pretty open to it, and they understand the situation, and they have an explanation waiting. They're much more advanced than we are. I mean, her town looks rough, but I think she's an exceptionally comfortable, wealthy librarian,
right.
And she lives in a society that is entirely different. That's probably split from ours only 2,200 years ago or so, as I recall my timeline, but is radically far more advanced than we are.
Mm. So you mentioned a timeline. That's interesting. You drew up a timeline.
It's buried in the terms of the story.
Okay. So, but supposedly, then you mentioned 2,200 years ago.
Yeah, there was a period where all these great thinkers got together, and basically of all races and genders, and decided that there's a rational way, and they end up ruling the world instead of Alexander. And I am not prepared to write a history of that alternate timeline. Is just a supposition out there. And basically, in my multiverse vision, anything I can come up with that doesn't actually break physical laws is going to happen, regardless how unlikely it is.
Mm.
So, and this is just one very unlikely world that by the time George gets there is infinite in its scope. I mean, there would be infinite copies of Mary, infinite copies of George, and everything would happen differently for each of them. My particular story, this is what happens, is what I wrote.
If there are all these different possibilities, is there a parallel universe in which a 12-year-old George Bailey isn't able to save his younger brother Harry from drowning when he breaks through the frozen ice on the lake?
Your brother Harry Bailey
broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry.
Oh, yeah, everything's possible. So,
right.
Yeah, why not?
Right, exactly. And so then also there's a parallel universe in which Uncle Billy never lost the $8,000 and consequently never lost his business and ended up in the insane asylum.
Quiet, everyone! I remembered what I did with the money, the $8,000!
Well, that's great, Uncle Billy. Well, what'd you do with it?
I was in the bank. I had it in a newspaper. I remember giving it to someone!
Well, who'd you give it to?
No, wait! Now, I just called Clarence at the bank. He told me that old man Potter deposited exactly $8,000 right after I left. It was him!
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go get it!
Where are you?
To get a little meta with the whole idea of the alternate universes, is there a parallel universe in which, an alternate universe in which director Frank Capra made a version of It's a Wonderful Life in which George does actually go through with suicide, does commit suicide?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one I think is very likely such things happened.
In this alternate universe in which the version of the movie that Capra made that has this downer ending of George actually committing suicide, it would not be very popular. It wouldn't be the Christmas classic.
It would be a different sort of Christmas classic, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was recently this story by a writer named Germaine Lussier on the science fiction fantasy website IO9. This recent story explored the question of, is It's a Wonderful Life a sci-fi fantasy film? Do you think the film is a sci-fi fantasy film?
Okay, I see the sci-fi in it. I see science fiction in it. I see the alternate universe. I think it's like Santa Claus. It's that kind of magic. And I think that's as far as people go with it in terms of, the audience does in terms of, they would never put it in the same category as Star Wars or Tolkien or any other fantasy.
Robert Reed is a Hugo Award-winning science fiction writer. He talked with us about his short story, A Woman's Best Friend. You can find out more about Robert at wpr.org/beta. And you can share your thoughts about It's a Wonderful Life and your other favorite holiday movies by sending an email to beta@wpr.org. That does it for this edition of Beta. Don't forget, you can give the gift of Beta this season by recommending the Beta podcast to your loved ones. Find it on iTunes or wherever you catch your favorite pods.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
You can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic!
Special thanks to Wisconsin Life host producer Maureen McCollum.
Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
Our technical and music director is Steve Gotcher.
Go back to Jersey, you moron!
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
If I were in charge, and I am...
And thanks to you, our alphas. Until next week, I'm Doug Gordon.
Aren't you supposed to be in the studio? We're on the air.
It's a wonderful, 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 wonderful life.
Teacher says every time you hear feedback, a radio host gets their headphones.
That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Dougie.